The quarterback of the Silver and Black joins us on 95.7 The Game, Derek Carr. And Derek, first off, congratulations. Tell our listeners how emotionally draining, physically draining that game was in Tampa Bay.
Oh, man, that was the longest game of a lot of our lives, especially when you're playing in Florida, the heat will get on to you when you're out there that long and all those good things. But that's why we rely on our training and rely on our process that we went through in the off season with our strength staff. I think that they're the best. And, we felt fresh, we felt good all the way to the end, but anytime you play an NFL game for, really five full quarters, it's going to be draining on your body. So when we got on that plane, everyone was excited, but a lot of people fell asleep real quick.
Yeah, I agree with you in regards to the shape and the conditioning, because I thought that was the difference in the game. I saw guys walking past you and guys going back to the sidelines and to try to cool off a bit, and it was hotter than expected for those who watched it on TV. And then getting into overtime, it really looked like you guys were highly motivated because you had that advantage. Not that Tampa Bay was completely wiped out and on fumes, but could you sense that your guys being in shape and preparing for this were ready for the overtime?
I absolutely do. And our strength staff deserves a lot of credit, man. They push us extremely hard, and the workouts they put us through are next level, man. They're stuff that, eventually, all NFL teams and all colleges are going to be doing. But as of right now, there's only a few. So, we're glad to be one of those teams that, has these kind of trainers and, has this kind of, monitoring system that they have on us to make sure that we're at the top performance and top level at all times, and it really paid off for us in overtime.
Derek Carr is our guest. All right, let's get the penalties out of the way again. We talked about it last week afterwards in your press conference. I saw you in the tunnel after the game. You were asked about it again. Going into Denver, you don't want this to be part of the conversation all week long. How do you put it behind you?
Man, we just got to keep playing. We just got to keep doing what we're doing, again. Flags are going to be thrown, especially when you're playing aggressive style, like we do. And, it's going to be, ticky-tacky sometimes, but it is what it is. So a lot of those are up to the ref's judgment. And, like I said, after the game, I think the refs did a great job. I'll make that clear. I think that we can just continue to learn from them, continue to, watch them on film. And if there's really, a big glaring issue, we'll fix them. If not, just keep playing the way that we're playing.
You've been always praising the opponent. That's part of the class of what you do in the organization. Talk about what Tampa's defense and pass rush was doing right in the first half. They were coming after you. They were physical, and they were fast.
Absolutely. Their pass rush was getting there, and, that's anyone's game plan, in the NFL. It doesn't matter, what teams are playing. Every defensive coach gets up there and says, we got to get after the quarterback, get him off his spot, and those kind of things. And, as I'm learning this game and as I'm learning those things, especially when you're getting, hit a couple times early and, they're getting there and they got the ball out on the one. You just got to stay the course and just remain confident in your teammates and confident in your footwork and abilities and things like that. And you just keep playing. And I think that that's somewhere where Coach Downing has helped me grow so much is, being able to, take some shots early and, be able to continue to trust everybody and trust everyone to do their job. And, they did for the rest of the game. They did a fantastic job.
Derek Carr joins us. What can you tell us about the halftime adjustments? Because the stats in the second half were explosive. Obviously, you guys tweaked with it and came out and were very aggressive and hitting receivers, tight ends, and running the ball much better.
Yeah, I truly feel that, in the first half, we honestly just shot ourselves in the foot. We were very confident in how we were moving the ball. We were confident in what we were saying, as a staff and as an offensive unit. But when you shoot yourself in the foot in this league, these teams are too good. It doesn't matter what people's record is. These players and these teams are so good that if you mess up, they're going to make you pay for it. That's why it's any given Sunday. Anyone can win. So when we came in the second half, we honestly just said, let's stop shooting ourselves in the foot and, let's finish these drives. And we were able to do that, at a high level in the second half, and it was good to see.
Derek Carr is our guest. The Derek Carr Show on 95.7 The Game. The quarterback of the Silver and Black joins us here, coming off the big victory on the road at Tampa Bay. All right, Derek, I want to go through the Michael Rivera touchdown, which I think was critical for those who want to see the tight end be more involved, whoever it is. Walk me through that play. Such an accurate throw, and he's so athletic to go down and get it. That was the key moment in the game to tie it up.
Oh, man, my trust level, with Mike is out of the roof. He being able to have so many good reps within my rookie year. You know, he was the starting tight end, and he was someone that I could always trust to make a play for me. You know, especially down the middle and things like that. He's such a good guy, and he's such a hard worker that when he gets his chance, he's going to go and do great things. And you saw it early in the game. You know, you saw the big one, down the seam, that he caught, and then later on the touchdown, he ran a great route. Tampa actually dropped the defensive lineman into his window, but he was smart enough to keep running through the window, because he knew. I always tell these guys, it's not going to be, how we draw it up every time, but just whatever you do, stay on your route and keep running. And that was a perfect example that he stayed on his path, kept running, and with a defender on his back, I threw it low and away to give him a chance, and you saw how talented and gifted his hands were. He made a great catch.
It was a great catch. We're wrapping it up with Derek Carr. All right, for the game-winning touchdown, what I thought was unique is everybody's gassed. You know that if you punt, the game's over. It's four-down territory, but if you don't get it, Jameis Winston comes back. They don't have to go that far. They still have some time left. Mentally, what were you thinking as it went from second, third to fourth down? And Derek, the way I saw it is, when you got a guy like Crabtree playing at that level and Cooper playing at that level, Seth Roberts, you talked about how clutch he was, and for him to be open, you to find him. Walk us through that. That was an epic play.
Yeah, I think, I think that one of the coolest things about Seth is that he always wants the ball, whether he's had, 8 catches in the game or none. And it's just so cool to me that we were in the huddle, and it was one of the plays before where Seth, as I called the play, grabs my hand and says, "Throw me the ball." And, I'll never forget that because the next, the next play, he comes out, and on that fourth down, it just happened to where the coverage was, looking, for him. And, he was number one in the read, and he ran a perfect route. Made the catch, and I said after the game, he went in game-breaker mode on the NFL street. He just couldn't be tackled. And I just think it's so cool about him that it doesn't matter where we're at in the game, doesn't matter who's had the yards and touchdowns and catches and all that. I put my hand on the running back's shoulder, and as we're breaking the huddle, he put his hand on mine. He said, "Throw me the ball." And that's just a thing in my head that I know if the read takes me to him, he's going to win, and he wants the ball in that situation.
So right at that moment, you're celebrating with the offensive line. You know you got to get to the end zone and celebrate. There are thousands of Raider fans in the lower bowl. Plus, afterwards, you want to shake the hand of the opponent. What was that like, those 3 or 4 minutes after the touchdown, as you're getting your bearings before you head into the tunnel to be with your teammates?
Oh, my goodness. The first thing I thought of when Seth took off running is, well, about 90% of our team's going to go run down there and celebrate with him. So I'm going to stay back here and save the energy that I have left and celebrate with my offensive line. And I think it was nice. I didn't let Austin, run 40 yards down there and waste his energy anymore. But, it was so surreal. It's like I honestly didn't even see him run in because there were so many bodies in the way. I just heard the reaction of the crowd. And, I looked over and I saw everyone celebrating, and I knew. So I barely even saw his jersey go past the goal line, but it was just such a good feeling, man, to see him, all of our teammates run around, and you want to celebrate, so I go down there and give him a hug, and then the next thing that goes to your head is, oh, man, I just want to, go say hey to certain friends and teammates or certain friends on the other team, and, it's just a surreal moment, and then you just get caught off guard by it all, but, then you get down and give thanks, and head into the locker room and celebrate with your teammates.
What does a single game passing yards record mean to you, considering what this organization means to you?
Oh, man, you hit it on the head. You already know. Yeah, this organization means everything to me. I wanted to be a Raider throughout the whole draft process. And, when they took Khalil, with the fifth pick, I remember sitting there and just thinking, like, dang, obviously you want to get drafted in the first round, but it goes through your head, like, I'd be all right if I, go in the second round, and, just to be a Raider in itself, whether it's you play a lot or you don't play as much or whatever it is, just to be a Raider and be a part of that organization, there's nothing like it. Your family, your family with, these fans, with this organization, and once you're a Raider, you're always a Raider. And to be able to go out and do something like that and have a, have a cool record to celebrate with my teammates, because, you know, it is a team record. You know, we did that together as a unit, so it wasn't just me. But just to be able to do that and think about all the players that have played here, I'm overcome with emotion, and I was just so humbled by it.
Nicely said. I have to ask you, because there is just a passion around the global Raider Nation. It's all over the national media, the push right now, Carr for MVP. Would you appreciate the fans, because they want to get behind this in a big way, this MVP talk? I know it's still at the halfway point, but now that the fans are pushing for this, what message do you have to them?
I'm just thankful. You know, I'm truly blessed, man. You know, to see where, you know, where my career started at 0-10. I'll never forget the moment of 0-10. And to see where we're at now, and just the loyal, you know, loyal fans that we have, the loyal organization that believed, you know, this team, and, you know, and myself, to continue to stick with me. And, you know, and I always remember, I told everybody that good times are coming. And when we were sitting there 0-10, 0-7, 0-8, 0-9, 0-10, you know, people were probably, you know, rolling their eyes at me like, yeah, that's just another one of those guys. He'll be out of here soon. You know, I truly believe that there was good times ahead, and I knew it deep down. You know, if you work hard enough for something, that you could do it. And so far, we're having some really good times. And so I just want to say thank you for the support. We have a long way to go, you know, but I'm very thankful for it.
Last question, Denver, a ferocious defense. A lot of people believe the biggest home game since the AFC Championship on the way to the Super Bowl back in the day. Talk about just what Denver's defense poses for you here as you prep for this game. One of the best defenses, not only in the league, but best defenses we've seen in years.
Yeah, you know, I started watching them, you know, last night. You know, after the game, I, you know, celebrated for a good hour, and that was it. You know, on to the next one. And, you know, they're ridiculous. You know, they're talented everywhere. They're physical. They're fast. They're really good. But, you know, we respect everybody, you know, that we play, but we fear no one. And, you know, we're really looking forward to competing against them. You know, I've played them, you know, this will be my fifth time now, I think, if I'm counting right. And, you know, you get a good feel for the players they have and kind of talent they have. But, you know, the road goes through them. You know, they're the division champs. They're the Super Bowl champs. You know, the road goes through them. If you want to win, you know, the division, you want to, you know, do the things we want to do, we have to go out and beat those guys, you know, because they're the ones sitting on top. So I'm really looking forward to it, but I have nothing but for respect for those guys. But again, you know, we're looking forward to it this time around.
Thank you, Derek. Appreciate you coming on. Big game coming up on Sunday. Good luck.
Thank you. God bless y'all. Thank you. God bless y'all.